Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies.
1, 2, 3. I don't know shit about fuck.
Boner.
I like sucking.
Ball.
Legit bad podcast.
What's up, niggas?
Oh, yeah.
Doo-doo bud.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Where's your home?
Welcome back to Legit Bad. I am Joe. Jen is with me tonight. Yay.
Hey.
Yeah, say hello. Yeah.
What's up, niggas?
Oh, I don't want to leave anyone out.
What up, retarded faggots?
Everybody out there, what's going on? We are live on YouTube if this is your first time listening. Usually it takes me about a week to put them out on audio. So if you're listening on audio right now, you can get it a week ahead of time because I'm lazy on YouTube and it's live. And you can make witty comments like all the people on YouTube do. All of them. So witty. They're the wittiest you could get, actually.
Oh, yes. Last time we had you on, Brandon, I was laughing and smiling at things you were saying, and some guy said, look at that, what did he call me? Look at that female smirking at him, like she doesn't believe what he has to say. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, it's just resting bitch face, dude.
Yes, I have that.
Calm down.
I have that badly. It's not a big deal. I love what you have to say.
I block probably 10 to 20 people a day. And it's basically like, it's like my fornication time. It's like sex time for me. I get my 10 and I'm like, oh, it feels so good. I feel like I, you know, it's probably the highlight of my day, frankly. But I'd say about 10
one out while you're doing it.
Yeah, I'd say like 10 a day probably would be like average, block about 10 people a day.
Boner.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Super
That's
boner.
An interesting kind of spank bank to have.
Yeah.
Everyone has their thing. Yeah, it's been a while. I was talking to Brandon before the show, and the last episode we did with him is our highest listened to show in the history of the show.
Yeah. I love hearing that, bro. Well, you and I have done how many shows? Two or three?
I think between Swapcast and shit, probably three, maybe four.
I think two on your show and then one or two where it was a big group or something and you guys were there, I think.
Yeah, we split it up into like three episodes, put it out on different feeds to kind of like, you know, mix and mingle or whatnot.
Were all three of them or all two of them highest performing, or was one of them specifically highest performing?
That one I didn't even look at. It was one I called Without Recourse, and it's on YouTube if you're interested.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, that one. And what I was telling you before the show is for us, it's not that... I mean, for us, it's crazy, but in the grand scheme of things, it's, you know, small potatoes. But it was like, I want to say between audio and video, it was close to 40, 50,000 views and downloads on your last episode.
Yeah. So,
woohoo titties.
Yeah. So let's try to beat that record on this one. So it's been a while. Like we said, it's been about a year since we've talked to you, and a lot of things have changed. I've seen some of your updates and the crazy things you wear, Mr. Pickle. And So why don't you just give us kind of an update, a year in review from you for the last 12 months?
Yeah, that's a good, I don't think I've ever done that before. That's kind of interesting. So a year in review. So in December, I had a bunch of breakthroughs, December of 24. And some of those breakthroughs were things such as, like, I couldn't figure out what exactly the all caps name is. Like, what is this thing, right? I called it Ens Legis, and I called it all these different things, which are all true. But then in December, I had this huge breakthrough, and I figured out, I actually found evidence and tied it all down. It's called a sole proprietorship. So, like, when you file taxes, you're filing taxes as a sole proprietor on behalf of a sole proprietorship, which is a business. It's defined right in the IRS as a business. And I always go on shows now and I just say, first off, are you a business? And they go, no. I go, good. And second off, if you have this business and it's your name in all capital letters, where did it come from? Did you open it? No. Did your mom open it? No. Did dad open it? No. Who opened it? I don't know. Exactly. So that was a huge breakthrough. I changed a lot of things. I changed the passport explanatory statement, and I changed a whole bunch of other shit, and everything kind of shifted. And then in December, Joey Kimbrough finally beat me over the head long enough to get me to go and actually start reading court cases, which I know sounds silly, but the whole first year.
Sounds boring.
Well, it's actually really exciting. But the whole first year I was doing litigation, I didn't really hardly read any court cases. I was just like, fuck it, I don't need that. I don't know what I was thinking. But I just thought, I'm just going to smash to the windows and just start shooting. I thought I would be okay. And it wasn't. So by December, I had gotten beaten down all year long. And I said, fuck, maybe Joey's right. Maybe I should go start reading some cases. So I went off, started reading some cases, and I just found everything I was reading to be so fascinating, and it just illuminated so much about every area of our culture, everything from financials to the way the law is structured to citizenship to, you know, God knows what else, right? So I was just reading tons and tons of cases for, you know, months and months and months and months. And during that process, I realized some things and changed some things, such as the citizenship stuff. So one of the things that I realized is, I actually located all the original cases where they're talking about the difference between a state citizen, which is the original citizenship that was here from 1776, and it's only for white people. You have to be what's called a free white person, right? And that's why the U.S. citizen category was created, because when the slaves were released with the 13th Amendment, they couldn't actually become citizens of a state because that you have to be a free white person to become a citizen of a state. And I found all the original cases and all the original definitions, and it was like, holy shit, it was everything is proven locked down, right? So I created a timeline of everything that happened in every single case and every single thing and every single definition. And I figured it all out. And I created something called the Treatise on the Word Person, which is basically my whole kind of, it's like basically a small book in length, and it's the entire linear proceeding of how all that went down, what happened, which cases did they come from, what's the quote from each individual case. And
why did you call it a treatise? Shouldn't you be calling it a manifesto at this point?
Well, no, a treatise is just like a formal, really heavily detailed writing on a particular subject, basically, right?
No, I know. I meant you're about to be framed by the FBI or CIA.
Oh.
They always found the manifesto, so.
I still haven't had any, contrary to popular belief, I still haven't had any weird run-ins or phone calls or emails or anything.
Well, everybody right now, knock on wood for our buddy Brandon here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's, you know.
So,
in fact, my biggest issue is that no one wants to talk to me. That's actually my biggest issue.
Really?
Yeah, no one.
You were making the podcast rounds there for a bit.
No. I don't mean that. I mean like in the courts and with the government. Like I file lawsuits and I file in 40 pages worth of stuff. You know, not 40 pages worth of bullshit, but like, you know, I answer their questions and answer questions and answer the opposing counsel's questions. And I've gone off. I've spent probably, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours compiling case law, putting it all together. I mean, my shit just gets better and better and better, and it's just gorgeous. And I'm so impressed by my own work. And it's just, there's just nothing. There's just no response. It's just gaslighting. There's no, it's just unbelievable. So I'm just continuing to improve and continuing to get more and more and more evidence and more and more and more case law, more and more definitions, and then just finding more and more streamlined, shorter and more linear ways to talk and describe things. And that's all I can do. I don't know what else to do. And so just getting ignored and just trying to restructure things better and better and just doing like lots of experimentation, lots of cases, and then learning from those cases and then filing more cases and then learning from those cases and filing more cases. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm just going to keep doing that over and over and over and over and over and over until I can start getting responses. But they basically, the opposing counsel, if you read my cases, they're all available to be read. You don't even need a Pacer account or a login or anything. You can just go on there. Everything is what's called recapped, which is totally free. If you go to williamsandwilliamslawfirm.com, click on current and previous litigation, all the cases and all the filings in the cases, you can just click and they just pop right up. You don't need a login. You don't need to pay. Like with Pacer, you have to go in and pay if you want to look up docket items in a court case, right? Recap is like, if you have the Recap browser extension installed and you pay 10 cents per page and you download a docket item out of a case, it goes into Recap forever for everyone for free as part of what's called the Free Law Project, right? Which is really cool. I donated a small amount, like $10 a month. It's a really cool thing that allows everyone to have free and easy access to docket items and lawsuits and stuff, but someone has to buy it first. So I just go in there and I buy my own shit and then it gets recapped. And that's typically how I do it. And then, so I'll file something and then I'll buy my own shit and then it'll get recapped. And then now it's permanently available for anyone without having to log in or do anything. You just click current and previous.
One person buys it and then everybody gets it for free.
Precisely. Right.
Nice.
So, the if you go into the cases, you'll see for yourself, it doesn't require rocket scientists to figure it out. It's just pure unadulterated gaslighting, like to the most extreme and obvious degree anyone's ever seen. And I've just never really had to deal with this kind of shit in my life. I've never had, let's say, an uncle or a brother or a family member or something at work where you're just getting gaslit all day hard as fuck. It's just not something I've ever really had to deal with in my life. Thank God. So
the courts are the best place to find that, though. I mean, that's kind of what they do. And are you finding any precedent in the cases that you're reading before you're filing your other cases where they have to take a look at it?
So
because it's been taken a look at.
I'm finding.
One second. I just wanted to say real quick for the people in the chat, if you have any questions, we can do questions and answers at the end too, because I'm sure there's people that have questions at all the time. And I did want to get back into your treatise and how you're not hearing back from people, but answer Jen's first. No, go there and then we'll go right into that.
You can look at my cases. I like I said, in December is when I started reading the cases. So you'll see right at the very end of December, early January is when I started to incorporate case law. But you know, I read so many cases over the last 6 months that even recently, literally yesterday, I found this amazing case that I'm using right now in a reply brief that I'm writing right now on my Amex appeal. So it's an ongoing thing, but yes, it, at this point, after being 6 months of reading cases and putting things together, I'm able to take really huge, monstrous subjects like negotiable instruments, and I'm able to write, you know, a page or two pages of just case law and break everything down in a way that, as far as I'm concerned, it's so clear and it's so solid and it's so, you know, unquestionable that there's nothing to talk about. And I file it in and I think to myself, well, that's done. He's cooked. And then the craziest shit, Tasmanian devil, you know, shitsling, whatever, manufacturing, whatever, that I've just never seen anything like it. And it's like, I don't really even know how to explain it. It's like dealing with an insane child. I just don't even.
They know. Do you whoever's in charge of that, you know, response or whatever, do you think they know? And they're like, oh, we know what he's up to and we're going to gaslight the shit out of him. Or are they just.
I've had a lot of these guys on the phone and stuff, and I'm pretty good at judging if people are bullshitting me. And honestly, frankly, a lot of times, no, I think these people, and what's crazy is, like, for example, the main attorney that I'm talking about here on this Amex appeal, his name is Stephen Newman, and he's a partner of this huge monster law firm called Steptoe. And what's so funny, because when I started with them, I was with this intern named Brianna Bauer, and then within a couple filings, I went all the way from the bottom, which is intern, all the way to the very top, which is like one of the oldest partners in the entire law firm, Stephen Newman, right? And Stephen Newman, I don't know how long this huge monster firm, and Stephen Newman being one of the partners near the top of that firm, I don't know how long they've been representing American Express, but I'm assuming probably for a little while. So it shocks me, because you think to yourself, okay, this guy's extremely high in his huge monster gigantic law firm. He's probably, I don't know how long he's been representing Amex, but probably a minute. It could be really a long time, but probably at least a minute. And he knows nothing about negotiable instruments, which is the entire basis of the entire financial system. It just doesn't. But the thing is that when you talk to these people on the phone, you realize, and you start to think, like, wow, maybe it's unbelievable. You start to really think, does this person really not know? It's like,
I would say they don't. It reminds me of doctors where they're not taught, you know, very much nutrition or anything like that. So they literally just don't know.
Yeah.
So you come to them for a toothache or whatever, and they're like, oh, we have a pill for that. They don't take into consideration anything else. Seems like the same kind of thing, and it makes sense.
So you have a guy who's a 39-year-old white guy who dresses up in a mankini and pickles. He calls himself one stupid fuck on the internet. He doesn't have a bar card. He has no licensing. He has a fucking law firm. Nobody understands how that works. He's got his own nation, apparently. Nobody understands how that works. Apparently, the law firm is located in the nation. And you know, I think a lot of it's ego. You're the partner of a fucking gigantic law firm that represents one of the largest financial companies on the planet. You don't want to look like a fucking retard. I mean, one stupid fuck's coming for you, bro. Pickle boy's coming. And it just, they just gaslight and you know, they play dumb. And it blows my mind. How, you know, I have a pretty big spotlight on a lot of this stuff. I don't know how many people are reading these cases, but they're all available for free. Click on it. 5 seconds, you could be in a case. You know, I would assume there's a lot of people reading this stuff. Typically, you know, when it comes to litigation, there's not, like, unless it's like P. Diddy or something, and even then, people don't know how to get into Pacer and look up docket items, and they're not going to pay hundreds of dollars to get into docket items and read huge.
And nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit.
And to be fair,
the thing is that
only charges you if you spend more than $30 in a quarter.
That's correct. But if you start getting in like a P. Diddy case where there's like fucking 400 docket items, yeah, you're going to be past $30 in about 3 seconds. But my point is that on my shit, it's recapped. So you don't even need to. It's $0, no login required, no Pacer required, nothing. You're there instantly. You get the PDFs literally instantly for free. My audience loves litigation. They're trying to learn. They want to see what I have to write. They want to see this. They're rooting for me, or my haters are rooting for, you know, Amex. There's this whole huge, almost like sports team style thing going on, right? And it's like, they've never experienced that. So it's like, I bring an audience. I there's probably, for all I know, there's fucking betting occurring on things. I mean, you know, who knows? It's like a whole thing. It's like horse betting, you know, they're betting.
I guarantee you somebody's betting on you or trying to short you like they do in the stock market.
Yeah.
What's that? Is it an easy link, something I can put in the show notes or?
Yeah, it's www.williamsandwilliamslawfirm.com.
All words.
Yeah, and then I don't know if share screen will work. I'll just show you, because it's so easy that it may blow the minds of the people watching. It's so easy. It's like dumb not to, right? So if we go to Williams and Williams lawfirm.com, right? And then you'll see here, these are all the different links to the various pages on the website, right? If we go to current and previous litigation, now, frankly, when I started, I was very dumb, did a lot of stupid things, but I was learning. So that's case one. We're going to go all the way down. Let's go down to the later cases. You're going to see better stuff and stuff. If you want to learn all of my failures and all of my fuck ups, you go to the earlier cases. If you want to see what I would consider more polished, but I mean, God, we'll see. You go later, right? So here's the case I'm talking about right now. Where is it? MX appeal. It would be appeal on case 4 MX. So you just go here, case 7. And then all you do is just, you'll see here, courtlistener.com. That's the free law project, or recap, however you want to say. Recap is just paste or backwards. And if you scroll over recap archive, it even shows you that little shadow underneath. You see that?
Oh, weird. So is that kind of like archives.org, like Wayback Machine type stuff?
Yeah. And if you go, okay, if you scroll down, you can see buy on Pacer. But the thing is, this does not have a document attached to it. This is just text notes that are on the docket. So it says buy on Pacer because there's nothing there. You scroll down, opening brief. Here's our first actual real document. Here it says download PDF. You click one button, bang, you're in. This is it. No weird, 1996 Pacer shit, no login required, no, this is 30 pages, it's going to cost you $3, are you sure you want it? And then you click and then it fucks up and you can't get to the next page and all the Pacer goofiness. It's simple, easy, you're immediately delivered the PDF. You can download this PDF, you could put it into your AI if you want to. I'm not a big AI guy, but I know some guys do that. You could do whatever you want. And the thing is, I do this as a way of helping. I do this as a way of being transparent, right? I have not had a lot of success in the courts. And I think legally, in terms of like the various things and the definitions and the way that I bring my complaint and my arguments, I think is very good. But I think the procedurally is where I fall down really badly in terms of local rules, rules of civil procedure, stuff like that, which is something I'm trying to get better at, right? But in terms of the law and in terms of the case law and in terms of the argument itself, which has never been heard, I think it's really solid. And I think that's one of the reasons why they fight so hard procedurally to make sure that my actual arguments can't be heard, because I think that if my actual arguments were heard, what's called on the merits, I would just absolutely crush the ever-loving fuck out of everybody all the time.
So they're just finding those little, I used to work in the court system a little bit, and they, if you know what you're doing, you can find an I that wasn't dotted literally, or like, an all caps where it shouldn't have been all caps, and they can
get rid of it. I'll show you. It's actually a good, I'll show you like kind of what I'm talking about, right? So if you open the opening brief on this case, and what an opening brief is so you, let's say I was the plaintiff in the original case. Let's say, you're going to take this case to appeals. The opening brief is literally the opening brief. You're now in appeals court. Now open up. You're the opening, speaker, essentially, right? So, they have for people who are pro se, it's very, very easy. For bar card attorneys, they have all these rules. They have to do table of contents. They have to do spacing. They have to do all this goofiness.
Oh, so people, they dumb it down for us plebs.
Oh, dude. Well, trust me.
I appreciate that.
You'll be very appreciative. You'll be very appreciative. They give you a template. This is literally a template given to me by the appeals court, right? So
you should try having ChatGPT fill it out for you and see if it changes.
No, that's not going to – people, they're coming down really hard on that shit because ChatGPT makes up weird fake shit. And they're doing what's called sanctions, which are financial disciplinary procedures. They're hammering. I don't know about pro se guys. They're a lot more lenient on people like us, which there's actual literal case law on that. But in terms of the bar cards, they're smashing these motherfucking bar cards like all hell. There was a guy.
Oh, I bet. They make enough money. They should be writing their own shit.
Well, what's his name? Dave Lindell, the MyPillow guy, he recently had one of his attorneys file something into one of his cases, and it was a bunch of fake AI manufactured shit. And they slammed the fuck out of the attorney. It was like $3,000 or $6,000 worth of fines and all sorts of craziness, right? But
Mike Lindell?
Lindell, yeah.
Oh, the MyPillow guy. Okay.
Yeah, MyPillow guy. Yeah. It's his attorney, not Mike himself personally, but his attorney. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, So you can see here, all I'm doing in this case, which this was filed quite a long time ago, and I've learned 8 million things since this point. This is back in October of last year. Might as well be 150 years ago, literally. All I'm doing is just explaining negotiable instruments. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand a whole lot about the appeals process, but I was just trying. I mean, it says here, facts. What are your facts? And I just wrote a bunch of facts. You know, the negotiable instrument is an unconditional promise or order to pay in a court, you know, just facts. I didn't know what else to do at that time. I was just like, okay, you want facts? I'll give you facts, you know.
Well, and you cited the UCC, USC's, yeah.
A little bit, yeah, but it's pretty bad. It's not great. I'll be honest. You know, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it was what it was at that time period in October, right? And they ask you real simple things like what did you ask the court to do? For example, did you ask the court to award money, issue an injunction, provide some other kind of relief, right? And then I explain that, right? What legal claim did you raise in the district court? You know, I explained that, you know. And, you know, what issues are you asking the court to review in this case? What do you think the district court, or that's called that the BAP, that's a bankruptcy court, essentially, right? And I just listed some things that I didn't like. I didn't know what else to do, right? I was still pretty new to this. I mean, the fact that I'm even in the appeals court is pretty shocking, right? And that's it. And they try to do some stupid bullshit and file a motion to dismiss and do all the stuff. And then the court said no. The motion to dismiss, see this? Motion to dismiss filed by appellee. And then I filed in a response to their motion saying it's all bullshit, fuck you. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do, right? And if you don't respond to anything they put into the docket, then it becomes truth or becomes fact, right? So if I wouldn't have responded, then everything they say, even if it's a bunch of horseshit, it would become truth within the confines of this court case, and they would have just thrown the case out. They would have said
legally, they could literally say Brandon is a pickle and he has no grounds to even file this, and it would be entered as fact.
Yes, if I didn't respond. Wow. So here's the motion to dismiss, right? They file a motion to dismiss, right? And you can see here, Stephen J. Newman, right? So if we type into the internet, Stephen J. Newman, he's a partner. It comes right up, Steptoe, right? So here he is, right? And you can go down and you can see, you know, class action defense, proceedings launched by government officials on behalf of the general public, extensive experience representing companies, including internet businesses, retailers, banks, insurers. I mean, this is not like, look at this one here, his defense of museum security network in Basel versus Smith. So this is from 2003. So like this dude is not like just some fucking flunky, right? Because the lady who started this is this chick here, Brianna Bauer, right? And she's just a fucking intern. This is the chick that started.
He looks like a tiny hat, if you know what I mean.
What is a chick? This is a girl.
No, the other dude.
Oh. Yeah. So she's, you know, fresh out of school, I believe. You go to education, you can see here. She was in law school 2022, right? So this is probably an intern or something. I don't know. This is associate, but you know, who knows what that means, right? And you see here, you know, she has extensive experience doing Fair Credit Act credit related stuff, right? And she just gaslighted me. It was hilarious. But very rapidly it moved from her to him. So it's just funny how I went from the bottom of the barrel, someone who's brand new out of school, and then bang, I get the guy who's been doing this shit for 25 years, you know?
She's like, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at right now. I've never seen it.
Well, no one has. I mean, that's kind of part of the problem. Even the courts haven't seen what I do.
I know. So, I can't wait for it to actually get in front of a judge so he can also say, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at.
Well, they just gaslight me too, but I think that's part of the ego. I don't know. They just say my complaints are unintelligible. They just say some bullshit and throw it out. They don't even really say much.
How is that?
Because they're so indoctrinated, they're not going to look at what you're saying and understand it because they went to school for so long to understand the law as it's written, but it's interpretive. So I think there's got to be a lawyer out there, possibly a newer lawyer, maybe brand new out of law school as well, that would be willing to entertain, you know, what you're talking about. Have you tried to find one?
No, it's not even, it's not even, well, there's two parts to this. Let's be honest. I think to be honest with you, and I was very angry for a long time, pissed and fuck these judges and all this stuff. And now I'm starting to kind of, you know, you go back and you read my original complaint. Like, for example, you go back to my Amex case and you read it. This is the original one, case 4. This is if you want to go and see the original case that, you know, and it's a mess. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was learning. I didn't know. I was just seat in my pants. No one in my family is a lawyer. No idea. Just fucking filing shit in, going crazy, trying my best, right? So if we go to the very top, here's the complaint, which is the original document that initiated the lawsuit, right? And you go down and it's just a bunch of, it's not super clear. It is definitely chaotic, right? It's like all these little tiny pieces of information you can read here, you know, very small bits of information. I thought the way to do it was to build out the story using teeny tiny small bits of information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So I took this big, huge cake and basically cut it into like 400 pieces, essentially. That's kind of what I thought I was supposed to do. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, right? And so you see this teeny, tiny little slivers of information, and it's each one is numbered, right? And it goes down, and it kind of paints a picture.
I can't believe the judge didn't paint his chambers with his brains after looking through this.
Well, I thought this was the way to do it, right? So you go down, you see, you know, every single little micro detail all the way down.
Was one of them he signed with a blue pen?
You know, if you want to talk about a conspiracy, it was really creepy. Oh, you're talking about, yeah. But that's someone received the parcel. Well, I was trying to be all crazy and specific and like not lie. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I mean? I had no idea what I was doing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this is just completely fucking whatever. We'll see what happens. Well, really, it was me with my cock in my hand thinking I was going to, you know, butcher everybody because I was extremely overconfident at this point in time. So I thought this was going to be a slaughter fest. You know,
And your haters, I'm sure, took this as the best fodder they ever could hope for to be like, see, you're full of shit. It doesn't work.
No, I mean, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, compared to, you know, I'll show you, you know, but you can just see it goes down. There's all these different causes of action. And it's like, I didn't even know really what a cause of action was. I don't think at that point in time. So it was just whatever, you know, just this makes sense to me, I suppose. And then now if we go back, and that was October of last year, which seems like 15 seconds ago. If we go back to the current and previous litigation page, if we go down to my most recent case, which was just filed, which is a small claims case, look at the difference. So here's the first page with the top part and the jurisdiction, parties, very, very short.
Yeah. Are you going with kind of a less is more strategy?
Oh, dude, look at this. What one cause of action, breach of contract. Attachments in Exhibit A show the original cover letter and unconditional orders to pay drafts that were sent in to perform this account along with their endorsements. Defendant has a duty to follow the California Commercial Code in all transactions. Defendant breached this duty by failing to either process or dishonor the negotiable instruments drafts tendered for payment. This is in accordance with the California Commercial Code. Instead of applying,
you're sounding like a real lawyer now, dude.
Yeah.
Well done.
Instead of applying or dishonoring these instruments as payments, the defendant refused the instruments by ignoring them. This activated the Commercial Code 3603B, which states that basically if I send something in and they refuse it, it still applies as a payment regardless. It doesn't matter if they refuse it. The damages associated with this is the various phone calls and attempts to get performance. This lawsuit, in essence, is basically to force them to accept the tender of payment as per the law. I want $6,000 in unconditional promises to pay called Federal Reserve notes, and I want them to promise to follow the California Commercial Code. That's it. That's the whole thing. Look at that. That's the whole thing.
So that's the newest one. Is that in process right now?
Yeah, on the 7th of August, if anybody wants to come and watch, I hope it doesn't get to be too much of a circus, but I'll be at the Pasadena Courthouse, Department A, at 1:30 p.m. on August 7th.
Are you live streaming? Can you?
I don't know. I'm not going to try and go
piss
anybody off.
No, you
got to
pull some Alex Stein shit, dude. Yeah.
Alex Stein is so fucking funny. He gets the actual court cameras though. He like files a FOIA. Well, it's like the actual
city council. It's like city council or
but
something.
But he gets, so. But those cameras that he gets, that's the actual like council's cameras. That's not like his cameras.
He does work. Well, he's probably got somebody who does work for him now, but yeah, it's fucking great.
I don't know. You know, I'll do what I can. I don't know. I mean, who, you know, I don't, if someone wants to come and wear some kind of secret 007, you know, fucking
no, you go in camera. A pickle costume, obviously.
No, I'm not going to do that. This is my, dude, I've been trying to get into a court for a year and a half. This is my first time ever being in court. Can you believe that? I mean,
and
it's just,
when is it?
August 7th at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Pasadena Courthouse. And if you don't, you know, if it says right on the goddamn thing. So if you go to case 11, City of Glendale, round 2, small claims, if you click on this, it'll open up a PDF file. If you scroll down, it says right here, Pasadena Courthouse, 300 East Walnut Street, Pasadena, California. This is the case number. Scroll down a little bit more. It says right here, August 7th, 1:30 p.m., Department A.
Dude.
That's where I'll be.
Text me right after. I have to know. I can't get down to Pasadena on August 7th.
We're on vacation the next week. I would absolutely go down.
That'd be so fucking
fun. Can you
fun.
Delay it by 1 week? We'll be there.
I mean, every time I've ever had an in-person hearing, it always gets moved or canceled by some magical, weird...
More gaslighting. Yeah.
It's almost like, wow, people don't want Brandon to come into court. How interesting. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's, we'll see. I mean,
dude, I could see it going the other way too, though, where if they've, you know, if enough people have heard about you, especially in your hometown or wherever you live, I could see a judge being like, no, get him in here. I'm going to throw his ass against the wall. Because they can. This is the problem I have, not with you or what you're doing or anything, but the legal system is so fucking inherently corrupt that you could do everything technically right and they can still kind of do whatever they want.
Well, so okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. It's very important. So this is the typical, I've read a lot of these sovereign citizen cases, especially a lot of the ones that get referenced in my shit. I got pissed off one day. I was so fucking angry that I went off and I just read all of them. All the ones that they use against me, I never read them. I was like, I'm not going to waste my time. I finally just broke down. I read all of them. Right. So what they do is they file these district cases. They very rarely push the district cases into an appeals court. They lose at the district level and then they just kind of give up. Right. That's the typical. And you can see in the cases, you can see they put a lot of time and effort into their district case. Some of them are batshit crazy and they filed like 50 docket items and each one's 50 pages each, which is totally stupid. But the thing is that regardless, they put a lot of effort and time into their district cases. It's like, if you believe in it or you want it, go to appeals. And then the ones that go to appeals, it's like, you'll have one person, they'll have some district case. They'll go on for a while. They'll lose. And then they just give up. And then you never see their name anywhere else ever again, anywhere. Or they'll go to appeals. They'll lose there, and then that's it. You'll never see their name ever again forever. And a lot of people, they'll file a complaint, they'll get thrown out, and then now what happens? Now they say they're all devil worshipers, they're all baby eaters, they're all Freemasons, whatever the excuse might be, right? So to your point, that's exactly what I'm trying to do, essentially, is I want to learn every single rule perfectly. I want to learn every single piece of case law perfectly. I want to get to a point where every single word out of my mouth, every single word on a piece of paper is 100% completely perfect in accordance with all the local rules, all the rules of civil procedure, all the case law, everything. If I get to that point, which I don't think any human being has ever gotten to that point in the entire history of the human race, I feel like at that point, which could take me another 10 years to get to that point, then I'll start worrying about that. But to worry about that prior to that point, it just puts me into a defeatist mentality. And if I'm in a defeatist mentality and I say, oh, I'll never win, they'll never hear me, they'll never, then what? Then what's the alternative? That's my question. What's the alternative? What other option do I have? What do I do? If I give up, what do I do?
If you don't try.
What do I do? Yeah. If I give up,
exactly what they want you to do if you give up.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So if I give up, what am I supposed to do? There's no alternative. What else am I supposed to do? I want people to follow the law. I want the commercial code, the California commercial code followed in every area of my life. So if I give up trying to get through the courts to do it, what am I supposed to do? What other option do I have?
I think that's what the state would probably ask you too. What are you going to do now, bitch?
Nothing. The answer is nothing.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I'm coming up with ways to sue and then sue more and then sue again and then sue more and then sue again. And it's just going to keep going. And everyone's watching this and everyone else is fucking suing. So this is happening all over the country.
So are you guys kind of pooling your wisdom together for people who haven't heard of you before? What you do? Are you guys kind of combining experiences into a cohesive thing? New people
to some degree, yes. But you also have a lot of like crazy wild cards. You have all sorts of lunatics that just paint their face and just go fucking nuts and sue everybody, and they're just totally crazy and they're just having a blast. Honest, frankly,
if I had the money, I would do that too. Sue everybody.
Well. There's also people who are suing everybody and they're doing it what's called in forma pauperis, which means you don't have to pay. So there's also that too.
Oh
yeah. You don't have to pay. Now the problem with in forma pauperis, which I didn't know before, I've talked about it many times and I've recommended it, is you might wait, you know, we have one guy who waited like 9 months before his in forma pauperis was approved. So it's a free case. You can file.
Civil suits too?
Yeah. You can file for free. I have one guy who filed for free and I couldn't believe it. He filed for free in form of pauperis. The court picked it up, gave him everything. He's rolling now. He's currently in talks for settlement. He's currently in settlement agreement. So they're trying to pay him, which is crazy. And it's all free. He didn't pay anything, but he had to wait 9 fucking months because he filed in forma pauperis. If you pay, like for example, my small claims case, if you wanted to file a small claims case in your state, you're looking at $75. It's not terribly expensive. If you want to go to big boy court, like federal court, you're going to pay $405 to get started, right? And if you go to state court in California, it's like $415, but in a lot of other states, it's way cheaper. 200, 250, 180, you know.
Everything's cheaper outside California. We know what you mean.
So if you want to go to state court, I mean, I'm sorry, bro. If you think 100, I mean, if you think waiting 9 months is better than paying $200,
it sounds like Canadian healthcare to me.
You need to work on self-esteem, do some fucking like meditation, lose some weight,
get your priorities straight,
quit hating yourself. Maybe that's ridiculous.
Change outside of dude, seriously, or something.
Go wear a mankini and get donations for your local lawsuit at the supermarket or something.
I don't know though if these people are trying to like sue everybody, that gets expensive real fucking quick.
Fine, so if you want to sue like 100 people and you want to go in for a pauperis on 100 people and you're like fuck it, 9 months from now I'll get all my answers, that's fine. But I'm just saying, if you want to sue, you know, one or two people, you also got to think too. Let's say you want to file a lawsuit and there's 5 or 7 parties that are all involved in that same lawsuit. the $200 that you pay to start that lawsuit includes all of those seven people. If I sue,
that's a deal.
If I sue Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, and American Express, which is four defendants, and it's $200 to file a state case in Indiana, it's $200 one time, and then it's going to cost me whatever it's going to cost me to serve all of those four parties, which is, that can be a little expensive too. That can be like $60 or $70 per party.
Yeah, I used to be a process server, I know.
Yeah. So that can add up. True, if you have four or five defendants, that could be 200 plus 60 times four. So that's a 460 or whatever, 440. If you want to go in for a pauperous, fine. You're going to wait. You're going to be waiting probably for a while, frankly. But if you go in for a pauperous,
that too is because you're basically doing what you're going to court for anyway. You're charging the government for their time and effort and all that stuff. So I'm in favor of that too. But if you're in a hurry, just pay the $200.
If you want to get rolling and you want to learn and you want to, I mean, dude, it's this, you know, it's a learning. The learning process is where all the value is at, in my opinion. I lose and lose and lose, but I learn like crazy. I'm learning at an extremely fast rate. You know, every attorney that's ever been on my shit, which I know five or six or seven personally, every single one told me, Brandon, the first thing I had to learn when I came out of law school was how to file a lawsuit.
Are you in contact with all those guys and kind of getting like bouncing ideas off of them with what you're trying to do? Or
no one knows. No one has any clue how to do what I'm doing. I am.
Are they not even interested? Like, this should be something that would interest a lawyer, you'd think.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying earlier. Like, are they at least interested in helping you present it in a way that it will get heard in court? Okay. No.
There's a tremendous amount of interest in what I do, but that interest, the level of interest is matched with an equal level of fear and anxiety.
I bet. Well, especially if they have bar cards, they're like, I'm not touching this.
Yeah, and looming student loan debt also.
Well, yeah. even just people who don't even have bar cards are think that what I'm doing is crazy. But the thing is that crazy is stuff crazy that people want to watch. It's like MTV. Yeah. It's like I am essentially the MTV of fucking, you know, of the legal world, basically, right? I mean, I saw
MTV reps.
I saw a place in the market, which is the crazy rock star lunatic in the legal area, and I grabbed it. No one's ever grabbed it. So I was the guy. There was that one guy, what's his name? The Texas Law Hawk. Did you ever see those commercials? Or the Texas Law Hawk. And he goes, and he's like, he's got like a little dirt bike, and he's like, and there's like a DUI, and there's like this fake cop. And he's like,
sounds like a 90s commercial.
Is that dude. Oh, man, if you have never
pull
seen
it up
this,
if you have it.
Let me see if I can pull it up.
I have to see this. Let's get a copyright strike. Fuck it. We'll sue YouTube. Just kidding, YouTube.
Copyright strike? Oh, yeah. Look at this.
Pass.
YouTuber. Texas Law Hawk. I hope you guys can even hear this if I click on it.
Oh,
this shit's fucking bomb. Bro, look at this. 9 years ago, 2.4 million views. Can you hear the ding? Can you hear it?
No.
How do you...
This happens on live shows. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Go to your audio settings and make sure it's just going through Zoom. I don't know what kind of setup you have. That's as clear of directions as I could give.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Is the sound like the main funny part?
Yes. I love the mini dirt bike and the American flag.
No, it's so good. I'm so irritated that I cannot. So like when you use other.
It might be okay with even the sound off at this point.
Here, I'll see if I can pull it up. Texas Law Hawk. All right, let me see. I think if I pull it up, people should be able to hear it.
We can ask the chat too.
Yes. Let's see. Texas Law Hawk.
It's right there.
All right. I'm going to stop your share.
Yeah.
With.
It's so good. Dude. I hope, I pray you can pull this up and hear it because
I think
this
so.
Shit
I
is so good.
Show, which is not usual for me. Is it this one right here?
Yeah.
This first one?
Yes.
All right. Let me know if you can hear it. Let me make sure the sound.
Oh, I can hear it. Okay. Full screen. Okay, cool. Full screen, dude. Bro, this shit's so good.
Brian Wilson, Texas Lawhawk. Brian Wilson, the Texas Lawhawk. Talons of justice. Due process. Due wheelies. It's hot out here. Brian Wilson. El Halcón de la Ley. Brian Wilson, the Texas Lawhawk.
All right, guys.
Happy Halloween!
What the? Well, well, well. It's no refusal weekend, so you have to blow. Otherwise, you're gonna lose your license. The things are 100% accurate. Surprise, failed. Blow.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Someone just called me. That's why you don't blow. Brian Wilson, the Texas Lawhawk.
If you or a loved one been arrested, so call Brian Wilson, the Texas Lawhawk, today.
Oh my God! Tell me that.
He only stopped yelling at the end.
Tell me that's not satire, right?
Bro, it's real. He's a real attorney. I don't know if he's still. I don't know what, bro. I remember nine years ago.
Young as fuck. I hope he's still practicing. Bro, he looked like he was 24, straight out
of
law school.
Is the Texas Lawhawk still practicing in Texas?
Oh my God! That is some brilliant guerrilla marketing right there.
Bro,
like, it looks like it was shot on an Android and they just uploaded it and used some Adobe Premiere on it.
No, dude, that's some high-end shit. That's 9 years ago. He spent a fortune fucking putting those together.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about
that. 9 years ago, bro. Look at this. Look at this. Yeah. I just did a screen share. Look at this. Here he is, Brian Wilson, Texas Lawhawk.
Well,
look at this, dude. It's some real shit. Look at this, dude.
It's hot out here.
What? So he's like literally Better Call Saul.
He's the only dude that like basically fits what I do essentially, but he's like a licensed attorney. That's the only difference. But the thing is that he's basically, if I was a bar cart attorney, this is what I'd be doing right here.
That is fucking great. Have you talked to him? You should talk to him.
No, I mean, I don't, he does DUIs. It's not even, I mean, I don't care about DUIs. I mean, fucking
talons of justice. Love it.
And what's funny is you saw that was commercial three. He's got like three or four or five other ones that are like just as good.
God. Well, he found his market and he made it work. Good for him.
Fucking great.
So I'm trying to, like, the only other guy that I can think of that's anything close to what I'm doing is this guy, right? But not being fucking licensed and having my own nation and the law firm's located inside of my own nation. And that's a whole nother level of crazy, obviously, right? So, but yeah, I mean, I'm having a blast. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, people think it's crazy and people think I'm going to get arrested. And I've never had anything happen. I've never had any phone calls, no emails, nothing, no problems, nothing. So
fuck them then. So before we got like 10, 15 minutes left. But so I did name this episode because I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about. I named it Legal Fictions. And it kind of fits in with what you're talking about with your treatise on the word person. So
oh, I wanted to show that. I'll go ahead and just show that because it's
a little more into that.
This is literally the coolest thing I've ever written, I think. And it's something that is seriously like it's 3.5 years of work, essentially all in one document. Like, you know, let's say it's 2010 and you want to learn about sovereignty. You know, you're looking at 10, 20 years of work to get even a fraction of what's in this treatise. You can read this treatise in like 3 or 4 hours. You're going to know more about all the shit we've been trying to figure out than somebody who's been studying this shit for 25 years. I'm not even kidding. I'm not even trying to toot my own horn. It's a fact. It's just after COVID, there's just so much information available. And there's so many people doing this that, you know, I was able to research this at blisteringly fast speeds and I was able to put it all together. And if you look, it's not the shortest thing in the world, obviously, but it's the entire timeline of citizenship. It's the entire timeline of what happened. It's all the original documentation. it's exact court cases, quotes from those court cases. And it's not, you don't need to be a brilliant genius or something to read this, really. It's definitely not the easiest thing in the world to read, but it's definitely not brilliant, insane, out of this world, genius level shit to read. Seriously.
Well, especially for somebody who's a quote lawyer, right?
Honestly, it might be harder for lawyers to read than just normal people, frankly, because it's just like they're just so indoctrinated, like you said, right? But if you read this, I mean, you're way beyond. I mean, if someone was like, "Oh, I want to learn about sovereignty," and someone sent them this, and they just sat down and read this in an afternoon, they're like 25 years in already, bang, instantly, like no joke.
And this is all okay. It's on your site. All treatise on the word. Okay,
so I saw just in all caps as you were scrolling, all persons, not people. What does that mean? So is it just a play on the word of person, persons? Because persons, we've all been taught in school, that's not how you say people. So is there a huge difference between that? That you've found?
Yeah. If you go to the Constitution preamble.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the quote that everyone knows. It's "we the people," right? We the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union, right? And then if you go to the slave importation clause of the Constitution, most people don't even know this exists. There's a slave trade clause in the Constitution. And the way that it, where is it at? Yeah, let's see. This is probably better. Here we go. The way that they describe the slaves in the Constitution is the migration or importation of such persons. And if you go to the main case where they talk about this, it's called Dred Scott versus Sanford, 1857. That's when they were trying to figure out the whole thing about black people and are they really part of the Union or are they not or whatever. And I have the quotes here. The words "people of the United States" and "citizens" are synonymous terms and mean the same thing. They both describe the political body who, according to our Republican institutions, form the sovereignty and who hold the power and conduct the government through their representatives. They are what we familiarly call the sovereign people, and every citizen is one of this people and a constituent member of this sovereignty. This is Roger B. Taney, the fifth Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in the case of Dred Scott versus Sanford. Just below that, he says here, the question before us is whether the class of persons described in the plea and abatement, meaning released slaves, Dred Scott, compose a portion of this people and are constituent members of this sovereignty. We think they are not, and they are not included, and were not intended to be included under the word citizens in the Constitution, and can therefore claim none of the rights and privileges which that instrument provides for and secures to citizens of the United States. On the contrary, they were at that time considered as a subordinate and inferior class of beings who had been subjugated by the dominant race and, whether emancipated or not, yet remained subject to their authority and had no rights or privileges but such as those who held the power and the government might choose to grant them. And then he goes on and on and on. He describes that more and more and more, right? And then after the Civil War, there was a case called the Slaughterhouse Cases where they were trying to figure out how to fix this whole Dred Scott thing that he created. They weren't happy with that because it basically said that these released slaves that were black were not allowed to be citizens. They weren't part of citizenship. They weren't part of the Constitution. In fact, they were specifically mentioned as not part of the Constitution as per the Slave Importation Clause. That's what Roger B. Taney said. And frankly, that's 100% true. I don't care. Call me racist. Call me whatever you want. Factually, I could love black people. I could be married to a black woman. Doesn't make a difference. The fact is that they described the white people and the Constitution as people. They described the imported black slaves as persons, period. You can argue with me all you want. You're arguing with a fucking piece of paper. Have fun, okay? So after the Dred Scott versus Sanford, and then we had the Civil War, we go on to what's called the Slaughterhouse Cases. They're trying to figure out, how do we fix this problem? We want to give some kind of citizenship or something to all the released black people. Like, what are we supposed to do with this? We're supposed to have a bunch of released black people running around that can't get any citizenship. They were getting treated like shit. They were getting treated like shit. They had no way to sue anyone. You could beat the fuck out of a black guy on the side of the road. They can't sue you. Without citizenship, they had no ability to sue. I could pull over, beat the shit out of a black guy on the side of the road, get back in my truck and drive off, and there's nothing they could do about it. So obviously that's a problem, right? So they were trying to figure out what do we do?
Times have changed.
So there was a case called the Slaughterhouse Cases, which is where they tried to figure out what do we do with this? And if you read that case, what they did is they created a whole new class of citizenship on the federal level called the U.S. citizen category. The U.S. citizen category did not exist prior to this case, 1873. So he even tells you right here, then all the Negro race who had recently been made free men were still not only not citizens, but were incapable of becoming so by anything short of an amendment to the Constitution. To remove this difficulty primarily and to establish a clear and comprehensive definition of citizenship, which should declare what should constitute citizenship of the United States and also citizenship of a state, the first clause of the first section, meaning of the 14th Amendment, was framed. State citizenship is for the white people, and they created U.S. citizenship for the blacks. And they describe that in great detail in this case. And you can even see it here. It is quite clear then that there is citizenship of the United States and citizenship of a state, which are distinct from each other and which depend upon different characteristics or circumstances in the individual. You can go to Google and type in the Slaughterhouse Cases. And it tells you right in freaking Google AI interview overview, the court narrowly construed this case, protecting rights derived from federal citizenship, not state citizenship. No one even knows that there's these two classes of citizenship. Have either of you ever heard that there's two completely different classes of citizenship in America?
Not that, but I have heard a lot of people talk about how, you know, the United States as a country is different from the United States of America as a corporation. So that, I mean, that makes sense.
That's true, but it goes deeper than that because you have two different classes of citizenship, and then you also have what's called the non-citizen national, which I've talked on your show before. That's something that I have shifted away from because that's not really what we are. I thought that's what we were, and then reading all these cases, I realized it's not what we are. If you're white and you've been in a state for more than 5 years or you were born in a state, you're a state citizen. Period.
Hmm.
It's that simple. And if you read my treatise on the word person, I walk you through the entire timeline of what that is, how it happened, what that means, what it means to your rights. And we go through all the way through. This here is what she asked me. And what this is in reference to is the first line of the 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment. This is what everyone's been talking about since 1868. Is what Trump's talking about with birthright citizenship. Everyone's talking about it. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Right. The thing is that if the goddamn Constitution starts, we the people, and the only place in the Constitution they say the motherfucking word persons is in the goddamn slave importation clause, and all through all these cases, they describe the blacks that were enslaved or released from slavery as persons. And they talk about the white people as people. And we had a class of citizenship prior to the 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment was 1868. They're not talking about fucking white people. This has got nothing to do with fucking white people, bro. Nothing. It's got nothing to do with fucking white people. Nothing.
So I do remember seeing some of your posts about this, and that, I mean, this is a relatively new revelation that you've been uncovering. How do you plan on proceeding with this? So you have the treatise. I'm going to link to that in the notes for the audio listeners, but what are you going to do about this?
Well, as a white state citizen, so for example, if you go into this document, as you go farther and farther and farther into it, right? And it seems like a lot, but it, you when you take it in little bites, it's not that bad, and it builds out a big picture in bit by bit, right? So as you go down this and you learn the timeline, you learn about how all this happened and all the cases and all the quotes and all the definitions and everything else, you'll see that the ultimate presumption essentially is that you're a U.S. citizen, which means that you're literally black. That's the ultimate assumption, is you're basically black. You're basically a released slave after the 13th Amendment, right? And there's this thing called the Incorporation Doctrine, which, don't even worry about my website. We can just go straight to Cornell. It's the same shit. I pretty much copied it straight from here, right? And if we go down, this basically is a list, essentially, of every single amendment that was reincorporated into the U.S. citizen category for the blacks, but it comes from the white people who were state citizens, right? So white people who are state citizens, they have all of the 10 amendments, period, end of story. It's not up for discussion. You don't even need a court to recognize it. It's a done deal. If you're a U.S. citizen, which means you're non-white, you have to go here and you have to look and see which cases, like, for example, the Second Amendment. People walk around and they, oh, I'm a U.S. citizen. I have the right to bear arms. The first case that incorporated the right to bear arms into the U.S. citizen category is called McDonald versus Chicago. It happened in 2010. So when you say you're a U.S. citizen, you have to compare now to the Incorporation Doctrine, because what you're saying is you're saying I'm a released Negro slave that was released by the 13th Amendment and given citizenship by the 14th Amendment. That's what you're saying when you say I'm a U.S. citizen. If you say I'm a white citizen of California, you don't have to look at any of this incorporation shit. You've got all 10 amendments instantly, and no one can tell you otherwise.
What the fuck?
That's correct.
Interesting that we're not taught this, isn't it?
So the reason why you need a business license or a driver's license or a concealed carry permit is because you're a U.S. citizen. Because you tell them you're a U.S. citizen, right? And I got black guys hit me up all the time, well, what if I'm super black? Then it's really easy. That's super easy. You just go to Rule of Evidence 301. Rule of Evidence 301. This is for civil cases. In a civil case, unless a federal statute or these rules prove otherwise, the party against whom a presumption is directed has the burden of providing evidence to rebut the presumption. Just tell everybody, including the government and the Department of State, that you're a free white person. That shifts the burden of evidence to them. And because they're all fucking liberal, they're not going to argue with you.
This is the perfect time for that.
That's literally, I'm not kidding. That's my answer. Because if you don't do that and you don't understand this, if you're black of African descent, another thing you have to realize is the term Negro, when you look up the legal definition, it's a black man of African descent. It's not just a black man. It's not all black men. It's anyone who's black, but they have to have a certain amount of African blood, and then you start getting into how much African blood, and that's where things really kind of go off the edge of the fucking mountain, because it's all bullshit. They had craniologists coming into the fucking... They had people that would come in and testify that they knew your grandma and your grandma was from Niger. I mean, literally, it was a fucking joke. It was literally eugenics. The basis of all this citizenship is literally full-blown eugenics. I'm not kidding. So even the idea of what a free white person is compared to a Negro, when you get into it, which I get into all that in the treatise, the word person, it's all complete bullshit. So I tell the black guys who are of African blood, just use this. I'm white as snow there, buddy. I'm a snow bunny. And I've graced your fucking presence in this court as a snow bunny. I mean, literally. What are they going to do? Oh, no, well, Your Honor. He's actually, he's black. Like, okay. Oh, no, Your Honor. He's black. Okay, I'm black. Fine. Yeah. But I'm not, you know, 18.5 or 12.5 or 10.5% African blood. How are you going to prove that, motherfucker? How are you going to prove that? Make them prove that. See, that's why 301 is so cool. You say, oh, no, I'm a free white person. I fall into the definition of a free white person. Fuck you. If you say otherwise, you prove it, motherfucker. I'm not giving you any blood.
In California, if you were to try to pull that, they would just ask if you needed to use the litter box, and then just give you whatever you want.
I'm serious. Exactly.
Yeah.
But most of the government, even outside of California, just in general, government is usually liberal. So.
Oh, yeah.
Prosecutors and stuff.
As we prepare to get out of here, I did have a question from Jeremy in the chat. He said, going back to when Jen was asking about the signing in blue ink, and you said you want to hear a conspiracy. What was that? Your first court case, I think, and she asked if the dude signed in blue ink, and you're like, oh.
Because you wrote it. It just said he signed it in blue ink.
There's no, I probably taught, you know, years and years and years ago, you know, during the first course that there's a difference between blue and purple and red, and now I just think that's all bullshit. I wrote that on there because the guy literally signed with blue ink. It was just a fact of the case. That's it. There was no, like, people ask me, oh, blue and red and purple, and I used to think that was important. It's not. It's not important. There's a lot of things that I thought were important. There's a lot of things that people talk about that are important, like the word understand. Oh, you can't say understand because it means stand under. No one
understand.
No, that's bullshit. No one does that. I've never seen anyone do that. They don't do it in the courts. I've never seen anyone pull that on anyone. I've never seen a cop pull that on anyone. I've never seen it, ever. If I would have seen it, I'd be doing it and I'd be recommending it. And people go, equity. They say, equity is the answer. Use equity and this and that. I always ask everybody the same thing. Oh, equity. Great. Can you give me a case number? I'd like to read a case number on this. Oh, well, there's no case there. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. It's just, we have to figure out a way. It's very simple. You have a complaint. The complaint, the way a complaint is formed is through what's called a cause of action. A cause of action has three elements: duty, breach, damages. So you have to establish that they had a duty. Is there a contract signed? Is there a promise? Is there a law that they're underneath? You have to say they're underneath, for example, the California Commercial Code. They're underneath the California Commercial Code. That would be the duty. You guys have to follow the California Commercial Code. And the breach is you're supposed to follow the California Commercial Code and you didn't do it here. And here's the evidence you fucked up. And then damages. Prove the damages, right? A complaint, it has jurisdiction and venue and parties. That's all easy, stupid bullshit. The 90% of it is those causes of action, right? Cause of action, breach of contract. Duty, he signed a contract, said he was going to deliver milk, never delivered the milk. That would be the breach. Breach, I needed milk, didn't get milk, so I couldn't make cookies and my company exploded. That was the damages. Damages, couldn't get milk, business exploded, here's the evidence, shut down the business because I couldn't get milk, he fucked up, he's responsible, cause of action, right? And that could be the only cause of action in the whole lawsuit. You file the complaint. Now, once you file that complaint, now that's when all the gaslighting and all the bullshit starts, right? So that's when you start getting into the rules of evidence, rules of civil procedure. That's when you start to get into all the mechanical horseshit. And that's a lot of the stuff really that I didn't understand and I'm still trying to understand. And that's really where I fall down. And that's where a lot of other people, pretty much anyone you know that went into the court and tried to do any of this stuff, the area they fell down at, it might have been in the complaint, but most likely it was probably having to do with the rules. Because once you get that complaint in there, now you have to follow all these rules. A lot of people don't know the rules, so they just kind of file in whatever. And then the bar cards know the rules. And they say, he didn't follow local rule 5-2.1-1, which says that whenever you file in a motion, there has to be a word count, which is literally something that happened to me. If there's no word count and it doesn't say how many words are on the page, it gets thrown out. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. Technicalities. Yeah. It's not literally like you said before, where it's like dot the I's. It's not quite that stupid, but it's along those lines of, you know, too many words or not enough words, or there's not a word count, or before you file a motion,
password.
You're supposed to do a meet and confer. So if a meet and confer is where you just talk on the phone and see if you can handle it over the phone. So if you file in something, but you never had a meet and confer, then the bar card will say, oh, he didn't follow local rule 7-3, which says there's local. So rule 7-3 here in California says that you're supposed to have a meet and confer 1 week before filing an motion. So let's say we do a meet and confer, and then I space out and I file in the motion 6 days after the meet and confer, not 7 days. The bar card will say, oh, nope, he didn't wait a week. Local rule says you got to wait a week, and then they'll throw it out because you're supposed to wait a week, and it was only 6 days. I'm not kidding. That's
oh my god.
That's a lot of it. Seriously, that's a lot.
That's so fucking annoying. I can't believe like you got some hairy brass balls to be going up against this thing. They make it so scary and so convoluted that the average person is like, I'll just pay the ticket. I mean, I did that. I did that last year. I told you, I think I texted you about that. I got the ticket for fireworks and I ended up looking through it and going, you know what?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I was looking at the time and effort it would take me. I'd have to do way more research. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be that fucking guy and just roll over and pay the $500 for the ticket and just.
Damn, it was $500. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
For a bottle rocket. Like one bottle rocket. It wasn't even cool, to be honest.
Fuck.
Yeah, no. It was dumb, dude. But I mean, next time I think I'll request a jury trial because from what I've heard, if for something so stupid like that, a lot of times the DA is like, what? You want a jury trial for that?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, it went over
it
fine.
Was a ticket.
The judge and the sheriff's office all said, "Oh, this breaks the law." The judge didn't even know. He's like, what is this? What code is this? He didn't have any idea.
What penal code is this? And I'm like, I don't know, dude.
It's not.
Well, this whole thing is getting so big. You guys probably see it. It's not just my platform. I mean, it's just so big. There's so many huge guys running around trying to get traffic reform. And there's just so much. There's just so much happening. I mean, over the next 3 or so years, it's just this is all going to. There's just so much happening. I mean,
if the asteroid doesn't hit before then, or the tsunami, whatever.
Yeah, it's this thing is just getting so huge. I mean, the legal, financial, and traffic reform is right around the corner. I mean, seriously,
that'd be great. I think we could all use that. Well, dude, thank you so much for your time. And everybody, you can find him at onestupidfuck.com. What was your other domain name used on Crow 777 so it wasn't so abrasive to his sensitive ears?
Oh, don'tbeaslave.com. I've also got, and okay. Then for the late, I would say for the ladies, I've got myfaceisachair.com as well, which is the same thing.
Oh, nice. You have all the good ones.
Yeah, I've got all the good ones, yeah. All right, so well, if I meet a girl out and about and she's like, oh, what's your website? Oh, well, for you, it's myfaceisachair.com.
You're like, I'm curious. It really is.
No, it really is. It'll take you to one. It redirects to onestupidfuck.com. You go to myfaceisachair.com, it'll redirect.
Nice. I need to do something like that with our site. Well, appreciate you, buddy. Thanks, everybody, in the chat. We will talk to you guys next week. And again, all the links will be in the notes of most of the things he talked about. If not, email him, not me. Or don't leave a comment on the YouTube, please. There's so many comments that are trying to ask me about shit. I'm like, his website is this. Go ask him. Take his course. I don't know shit about fuck. It's in the intro. All right, everybody. Have a great night. We will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.